It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's your old buddy Luke, and you know, I am just back from hunting up in northern New Mexico, not too awfully far from the Colorado border. David Williams owns Hunter Supply. David and his wife, Regina, live up in the mountains. David's ranch actually goes over the Continental Divide up there. It's an awesome part of the country. Very close. You could shoot a rifle easily and hit the land on the Jicarilla from David's shop there. But let's talk about some New Mexico hunting and opportunities and things like that. David, thanks for hanging in there and staying with me this morning.
Hello, Luke. How you doing today?
I couldn't be better. I had awesome time up there with you. The mule deer are, I just recorded the commercial radio shows with Larry Wysoon. We were talking about mule deer, and he said, you know, he's seen it all and seen them migrate out and come back in. I was up on a hunting mule deer, folks, and the elk were everywhere, which is usually a blessing, but we were after mule deer. Kind of weird how you had a lot, four different bucks that you watched all summer, and once they rubbed the velvet off their antlers, the rascals pulled a disappearing act, didn't they?
Yep, once they rubbed off, they just went that day. I mean, they didn't look back. They went someplace else.
So other parts of the globe. We don't know where they went. The Jicarilla, David, is right there, and you're friends with Bob and his daughter, Bobby. Yep. Nail. That guy, Bobby Nail, actually is a tribal guide, you know, guides on the Jicarilla. But it was an awesome experience when you and Bob loaded us up, and we drove over miles. We just scratched the surface. I don't know. We drove a long ways on the Jicarilla. It's an Apache reservoir.
Yeah, we did. We just went over the main place around the main house there. There's a lot more country to cover.
What I understand, 1.5 million other acres, you know, up there. And but that is an awesome part of the world to go to. Folks, it's near Cuba, C-U-B-A, Cuba, New Mexico. And get in the road in front of your house there, David, and look north. Is that Wolf Creek Pass? I forget which pass it is.
Yes, yeah, you can see Wolf Creek Pass from my front yard, yes.
And that's like, what, 80 miles or something, or long ways up there?
It's like 130 miles. It's a long ways off.
Yep. I think what we need to do is get some information to all of our listeners. We talk about hunting and fishing here every week, been doing it for years here on KETR. But, folks, David is a lifelong gunsmith. I truly don't know anybody that knows as much about ballistics, calibers, all that kind of stuff as David. David, there's ways to get more accuracy out of a rifle barrel. And I know our listeners are like me, most of them. They're not gunsmiths, but fire lapping a barrel. You showed me the basic procedure of that, and I actually had no earthly idea what fire lapping a barrel was all about. I'd read a little bit, but tell us about the procedure, what it does, fire lapping a barrel.
Fire lapping, we take a lead bullet, and a hard lead bullet, not a soft lead bullet, but a hard lead bullet, and we put different valve grinding grits onto the bullet and then actually shoot them down the barrel. And what this does is smooths out the imperfections in the barrel, makes the barrel a lot more uniform.
So that material, that it's like grit. That's what it is. If you could feature, I guess, sandpaper ground up, you know, the grit in sandpaper in a like an oil, isn't it? A lube.
Yeah, it's the grit is suspended in an oil base grease, so it'll stick to the bullet, and you can shoot it down the barrel that way.
And tell us what that does now. You know, do you different grades of grit do you use?
Yes. We go anywhere from 240 all the way up to 1200 grit. And what it does is the 240 knocks out the big high places in it and kind of smooths out the low places in their barrel. All barrels have highs and lows in them.
Mm-hmm.
And knocks off any rough burrs that's sticking out there, grabbing everything. And as you progressively get smaller and smaller in grit, finer and finer, it smooths it out more and more. When you get through the barrel, inside the barrel, look just like a mirror. It's just very nice and smooth.
It does, and that having all those slight imperfections that I'm not even sure you could mic or measure, you know, I don't know. But once all that is taken out of that barrel, David, it the bullet, what makes a bullet spin is the lands and the grooves, you know. But it engages the rifling, the lands and the grooves.
Yes.
Yeah, it better, and it's like you say, I guess it takes the imperfections out. So that's and in factory barrels coming from the factory, do they probably don't do that, or do they?
Oh, no, no. This will be a very time-extensive process for the factory is not going to do it. They, in their match-grade barrels, they will hand-lap it, which is using a big, long lead rod with the grip put on it, and they will run it back and forth by hand. But to physically shoot them in the way that we do it, no, factories wouldn't do it. It takes too much time.
I'm with you. Well, so fire lapping, that's what that is, folks, if you're a rifle shooter. Good information into watch. I was actually there. We were using an Air Force Air Guns Texan and shot. He did it on one of those and showed the differences, you know. But another thing is the crown of the muzzle, you know. And this is something I've studied a little bit about, is the last thing, the last part of that rifle the bullet touches is what, the last 2 inches of that muzzle, you know. So what is that? Describe that procedure where when the bullet exits the barrel, if it's not everything just perfect, I mean, some accuracy is lost. How do you make that rifling there at the very end of the barrel perfect?
We use a special tool for that, and that go with a special guide that slides down inside the barrel for whichever caliber that we're using, and recuts the crown. And cutting a crown at the end of the barrel just means that every land and groove is exactly the same distance at the end. If one side is off on the right hand side and the left hand side is shorter, it's going to cause a bullet to do all kinds of weird stuff. It's got to be exactly perfect at the end.
I kind of liken that a little bit. I'm a bow hunter. I've hunted with a bow forever. When you release that arrow, it's called paper tuning with a bow, where it shoots through the paper. Well, if it comes in there, that fletching on that arrow hitting sideways or whatever, it's wrong. You can tune it. So actually, what it's doing, I guess, is tuning the end of that barrel so that bullet leaves as perfect as it could. I mean, the spin on it.
Yeah,
I got you. No, it would take any wobble right to left out, you know.
Yeah, close range is not a big deal, but from 100 yards on, it gets to be a very big deal.
Oh, I could see that, but yep. So that's another way, crowning there to take some of the error out of it. Another thing is that many people may not realize is a barrel, when it's fired, center fire round going through it, it's not, you know, what you look at is just a solid piece of steel, but that thing is flexing quite a bit when that bullet zips through there, isn't it? The harmonics of it is causing that thing to I've never seen a video of it, but I bet if you could do it, you could see that barrel really flexing. So there's ways to limit that flex in the barrel too, right?
Yeah, we use the limb savers for that, and it helps dampen the harmonics of the barrel, and you can take just about any gun and make it shoot a one-inch group, no trouble at all.
And that comes from moving those, actually they're just like rubber, I guess, limb saver. I don't know if it's real rubber, but you can slide them up and down. I noticed you moving it different spots on the barrel.
And if you notice, whenever I'd move one, it would change the point of impact, you know. Not a lot, but it would change the point of impact. So when you finally get it down to where they're basically putting them all in the same hole, then you'll have to readjust your sights to be exactly dead on. But, yes, it makes a big difference, and a very cheap way to make a very accurate gun.
Yep. Now, folks, you have to understand, you've been listening to me and reading my columns and stuff, if you have for as many years as I've been doing this, you got to understand, David is a precision shooter and a gunsmith. I ain't. And, David, the truth is, with me, if I can take a gun, a rifle out of the box, and I'm talking a centerfire rifle, and I can keep it in a 2-inch group all the time at 100, I can shoot fairly good. I think you'll attest to that. I'm a fairly fairly decent shot, but I don't have the means or the knowledge to increase that to a 1 or a half inch group. You know, you do.
Uh-huh.
So my lifetime has been spent. Yeah, if I can keep them in 2 inches, but the bottom line is, if you can keep them in 2 inches at 100, you might be looking at a bigger group out there at 200s. You know. And most of my hunting through all these years has been, I bet you I could name, count on one hand the number of deer, two hands, number of big game I've killed over 200 yards. Most of my stuff is, you know, 150 yards and in, but the precision stuff comes in, especially out west where you are, and anywhere else, say a bean field in, a soybean field in Georgia, some long shots. That's where the precision really pays off on the longer shots, right? You know.
Yes, yes. Now, like your 2-inch group at 100 yards will translate into a 4-inch group at 200 yards and a 6-inch group at 300 yards.
Exactly.
Each 100 yards, you just double the group.
Double it. Which, I mean, honestly, for many people, that's plenty good. I mean, we got to admit that. But there's something about a rifle. You want it to shoot as good as you can shoot, you know, with it. And these little little subtle things like that that a gunsmith knows how to do, you know, it pays big dividends. David, now you crank out millions, literally millions of, would we say, soft lead bullets. Now, these bullets are used for air guns. We're not talking about pellets, folks. I shoot a 350-grain Hunter's Supply bullet, soft lead bullet, in my air gun, in my Texan, Air Force Air Guns Texan. It's a hammer. It develops 500 foot-pounds with just the power of air. So, but your bullets are made, you know, a lot of interest in air rifle bullets now, right?
Oh yeah, air rifle it's the newest thing and coming on strong.
Yep, all the states are looking at. Texas, of course, has a season this year. Actually, later today, I'm heading up to Hunter Ranch up in Lamar County with this Texan using one of your 350 grain bullets, and killed lots of hogs, but I've yet to kill a whitetail. Of course, the season just opened, but just became legal, so I'm anxious to put that. I'm gonna take that. I've got it sighted in with that, and I'm gonna use that hollow point that you've got, and that's what I'm actually gonna hunt with. But I know it's dead on with that 350. I think we're gonna be real close with that hollow point, David.
This is a new design hollow point we just came out with for the 457 Texans, and you're going to be my field tester.
I've got it, and the grain on that is how much? How many grains?
295 grains.
Plenty. They're telling me we are out of time, David. Folks can learn more about you, huntersupply.com, and I'll get you back on again. We'll talk some more. Let you share some information on rifles. How about it?
Looking forward to it.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.